This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots with Amber and Sabrina on ABC Radio Perth and WA and the ABC Listen app.
Are you not a bit chilly there in the nude?
That was a bit of a rush, wasn't it?
Just quit getting in here. Can you please explain why you're naked?
It's World Naked Gardening Day today, and I see you're in green, so you've sort of made summit a bit.
Yeah. What do you call it? Camo.
Yeah, in camouflage. Yeah. And I didn't realise that it was Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you.
Would that have changed your fig leaf situation?
No, not in the slightest.
More committed to the garden than to the science fiction?
Yeah. Now, I do have to have a thing against God, though, because, you know, if the only thing you're going to give Adam and Eve is a fig leaf, I think that's a bit harsh.
I'd imagine it's
scratchy.
Itchy. Yeah. Oh.
I like the back of the leaf is okay. But, you know, when
front's
you fondled my leaves a minute ago, that's the first thing you said, Amber.
I was hoping we could keep that to ourselves.
You said, ooh,
private moment.
They're a bit scratchy.
You could so easily derail me in such a way that I'd never come back. And then you just there. I will. Do you know what? And I'll only make you answer citrus questions. That'll be the punishment.
That's mean.
It would be very mean of me, wouldn't it? So mean. Hey, now there has been a lot of love shared on the podcast application wherein people can leave a review, which we do love it if you do that. If you rate, subscribe and review, it helps Roots and Shoots. You get to a broader audience than just those who listen to ABC Radio Perth. And it's so exciting to know fans. Jill says, each week I enjoy listening and learning new and interesting gardening tips and facts. Sabrina, you are an absolute delight.
Oh,
she's even
I'm
slightly
naked
more delightful.
And delightful
yeah,
today.
Yeah, yeah. She's flesh coloured.
Yep.
Nana Wobble says, great show, love your laugh and admire your wisdom. I don't know, the laugh's a bit questionable.
Nana Wobbles, isn't that great?
Nana Wobbles. All of me wobbles, not just Nana. And Kat Lamb says, I listen to these wonderful, thoughtful, humorous and blooming intelligent good people whilst working away in the garden. Absolute gold. Kat, you're our best friend now.
So if people want to see the photo, the nude photo of me up on the 720 whatever, I don't know, the Roots and Shoots page, well, you can't get it unless you go to your favourite app and then you subscribe and you have to rate us. So I'm quite willing for people to rate me on the size of my fig leaves.
Yeah.
Solid seven. Yeah, you reckon?
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. I've come up a point since last year.
Really? Right, that's a bit mean. I'd be happy with a seven.
I'm very happy with a seven. Better than a six, I have to say.
Should perhaps do our job. Or you do yours.
Right.
I'm going to give you an opportunity to do your job by speaking with Cynthia from Open Gardens. Hi, Cynthia.
Cynthia, there is a garden open this weekend, is there not?
There is, and I'm sitting in Donnell Park right now.
Oh, you lucky duck.
I know, it's looking absolutely fabulous. I'm just hoping, Sabrina, that all our people arriving today don't turn up naked.
Oh, come on, Cynthia. Wouldn't that be awesome? Mind you, it's probably a bit chilly there at this point in time.
Yeah. Well, the sun is shining.
It's
sitting outside. It's rather nice.
Are you naked, Cynthia? Are you naked? No.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, I can't speak anymore, Cynthia.
Well, where are people going to go fully clothed and what sort of a garden are they going to see today, Cynthia?
Well, this is a large garden. There's lots of green, lots of beautiful trees. They're just starting to get their autumn coats on.
Oh.
The ginkgo tree is nice and golden. There's Manchurian pears. There's a driveway lined with fiddlewoods. There's trees everywhere, but there's lots more than trees because they had a wedding here a few weeks ago And so they've put in a lot of work to get the garden looking special. So the hedge at the back was pulled out, so that April's got a lot more room for her cottage garden. And they've got a beautiful shade house, which is absolutely chockers. There's a hot house, a new hot house, and that's got some exotic sort of things in as well.
Ooh.
Lots and lots of things to see here. It's beautiful.
Oh, it sounds absolutely glorious. And did you give the address?
It's 28 Schofield Place off Lidlow Road in Banjup. And they're raising money today for Red Nose, which I'm sure is a very special charity for lots of people.
Absolutely. Is it open today and tomorrow, Cynthia?
Yes, yes, both days. And if they want any refreshments, could they please bring cash because we don't have a card reader at the...
Bernadette, thank you for being a regular contributor. Sorry, not Cynthia. Bernadette, Cynthia, I'm so sorry.
But Bernadette may be the name that Cynthia always wanted as a child.
It might
perhaps
be Cynthia, thank you, because Bernadette is... Thank you, Cynthia. Bernadette is waiting by standing language. Hello, Bernadette. Bernadette. Oh.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Bernadette.
Oh, so I thought you were going with Cynthia first.
Well, we just, you know, what we like to do on this program sometimes, Bernadette, is we just like to keep people on their toes.
Like to rename them.
And, you know, there's always, when you're young, you sort of, when you've got your name, you just think, I don't want that name. I want a different one. And then you have to wait for us to ring you, call you that name. You go, oh, no, maybe I'll stick with the name that I've been given.
What's going on with your redback ginger?
Right, so I bought a bunch of redback ginger to go down the side of the house and I had them in their pots and they were fine and I stupidly potted them up, like, to split them, and my husband had bought me a potting mix with dynamic lifter, so it killed half of them.
Mm.
It was too strong.
Yeah.
So I put them in now. One of them is going gangbusters, so they're seeing it, but the other three are looking really sad. I just wonder, should I... The leaves are a bit curly and brown on the other three, but the one that's all in the same spot is going great. Do I chop them back a bit? Do I feed them anything?
Well, you can cut them down when they... So the redback ginger is a native ginger, so it doesn't die down to nothing. So it'll manage to get through the winter, but I wouldn't prune it back until the end of winter, Bernadette.
Oh, okay. I probably put them in at completely the wrong time, but I had white caviar magnolias at the side of the house and they were just not getting enough sun.
Yeah. So okay. No, look, they'll be fine and they'll come good. You can't use chicken manure on gingers. It just burns all the leaves, as you have discovered.
Yes, exactly.
Bernadette.
Should I feed them anything or give them...
Well, they love cow manure. No, it's the wrong time of the year to feed them. Wrong time.
Okay, all right. So
beautiful. Spring.
Bernadette.
Spring. Yep.
Bernadette.
Too far away.
Bernadette.
Yes?
Can you do me a favour? I'm working on a rock opera about roots and shoots, and I just, in your accent, so I just pause for a second before you... say this. Can I get you to say curly and brown again?
So you have curly to put it in context. Yeah, but put it in context of a leaf.
It's a curly brown leaf. Sorry.
Try again.
I'm wobbling. I've got a bit of vertigo today. Let me hang on to the green bin. Right, here we go. Curly brown leaf.
Nice.
Beautiful.
I love it. Thank you so much, Bernadette. You're a good sport.
Happy to be of service.
Have a great weekend.
May the force be with you.
Yes, thank you.
And may your fig leaves fall.
Eileen is in Gooseberry Hill. Hello, Eileen.
Hi, all. I'm part of a French group that's looked after Markham Reserve for a very long time.
Oh, cool.
And Thursday, I actually noticed that I've got an outbreak of mealybug growing on one particular sort of species in that patch.
Mm.
The thing that I've tried myself about that patch, it's indigenous.
Yep.
If you've never grown there, you don't get a chance.
Mm.
But what I'm looking for, I've got two of the products that you could actually spray on for mealybug because they have been just so bad.
Yes.
But have we got a natural predator or...
Yes. Birds.
What eats it?
Okay, so Eileen, the little tiny insectivore birds eat mealybug, and mealybug are a native insect.
So, yeah, I know they are.
Yeah, they're and there's also, there is also, so ladybirds eat the juveniles. So ladybirds and the small insectivore birds are the, they're the chief predators of that. But if it's a massive infestation, Eileen, you really, the only thing you can do is spray.
I found it on another plant on the other side of the reserve. The reserve sort of goes down between two streets.
Right.
And the only reason I was in there the other day was because I had to go for a doctor's appointment.
Right.
And I was got there earlier and I thought, I'll just do a reconnoitre to have a look to see what's going on in here today.
Yeah, yeah.
And as soon as I hopped under the fence, lo and behold, here was all the medieval.
Oh, no. And there, but, and there. They're so hard to control once you – they usually go to plants that are sick. So plants that are under stress, they go, ooh, there'll be a bit of sap flow here. Might go and have myself a little sappy milkshake.
Eileen, thank you for that. We'll be back to do some texts shortly.
Hi, Waleed Ali here. If your brain's hungry for insights, the ABC Listen app has a feast of podcasts.
Try The Mindfield.
Today we're going for the problem of evil.
Injustice and evil, if they're the same thing.
You might also like Future Tense.
And there is a sense of privilege in that idea of natural, isn't there, which can easily be manipulated.
Without a doubt.
Or Dr. Carl.
You can feel a slight cooling, that's latent heat of vaporisation or something.
Load up a podcast and feed your mind with the ABC Listen app.
It's Roots and Shoots on ABC 720 Radio Perth and WA with Sabrina Hahn. We have a couple of lines.
We do. Do you know
available?
Why?
Why?
There's a couple of lines free? Because everyone has just discovered it's World Naked Gardening Day.
Rip their kit off.
So they've gone to rip the gear off and get out there with the pruners. Do be careful. Please.
With the hedge clippers. Let's not go any further with that.
But if you've got – so you can go to the Open Garden this weekend, which will be marvellous. But my mate Johnny Frog's also doing a workshop.
Ooh.
For the city of Bayswater. But you're going to have to put your gear on because they won't let you in if you're naked. It's from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. At the City of Bayswater.
And what is the workshop about?
It'll be about how to construct a habitat garden.
Uh-huh.
I haven't got the address, though.
What does that mean, habitat for critters?
Yeah, habitat for, well, particularly frogs, because Johnny's the frog doctor.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, frogs and insects and birds. But a lot of people don't know how to put in a West Australian frog pond, because most of our frogs are burrowing. They're not water frogs.
There you go.
Yeah. So you need to have a bog garden that dries out in summer, gets wet in winter.
Right. Mm. Okay. And Johnny will be able to tell you how to do that.
He'll be the bee's knees on
because
that.
Because I have not got a clue. Sarah in Kalamunda says, when can I plant out asparagus seedlings grown from seed a few months ago and sitting in nursery pots with a few small fronds? Any tips for strong growth?
Okay, Sarah. Now, asparaguses go into dormancy in winter. So they send the spears up in spring, then the fern grows, which is lovely, and that puts all the goodness back into the crown. And then come June, July, the ferns start dying down and you prune them to ground level. And you wait for spring. So, Sarah, don't pot them up now. Keep them wherever they are because they're going to go into dormancy. Don't think that they're dead. They've just gone to sleep. So what you need to do in spring, you pot them up. They grow really well in pots, really, really well. So pot them up in spring and you can't harvest them for the first 2 years. Now, if you've grown from seed, some of them will be girls. And the girls put their energy into their ovaries.
Where do you store this information? You're not a very large person.
Oh, I'm getting larger. I'm working on that. I don't know, because I'm old and you acquire knowledge. So the females make the berries. They put their energy into that. So the spears are thinner and can be a bit bitter. Especially if they've had, you know, the boys are not very nice.
The divorced ones.
Yeah, the divorced ones are bitter and twisted. So that's why most people whip the girls out and keep the boys, because the spears are fatter and more, you know, they just come up with great abundance.
So much to know.
Happy to see ya.
Such that's a little brain to know it with.
Have a little pinhead. But by God, it's packed, Amber.
It is so packed. And that she, you'll notice when she goes into serious voice.
Yeah, I did. It
drops down a little, a couple of octaves. Anne asks, what's the best time to prune and graft a fig tree? It fruited modestly for the first time this year. Fruit was very small and not much good. I have an opinion about that.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I want to know it. I'll answer her question first.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Or
do
I just reckon it's to do with the weather. Am I right?
Could
not necessarily.
Well, the weather plays a vital part on all our fruit trees, but it can be the variety of fig as well, because some of them are just rubbish.
There you go.
So the best time to prune your fig is midwinter, but that's not the best time to graft your fig. So you prune it when you want to graft it, which will be in spring and summer. Or you can do – now, you're going to have to Google this. It's too hard to describe. Grafting, doing a winter graft, which you have to use a different type of graft in winter, and you need to take a few grafts because they may not take. So you can do a graft with figs that's on a bigger branch, usually the scion, which is the top bit, needs to be the same size as the bit you
the recipient
graft, the recipient of the said graft.
Yeah.
That's one type of graft, but you can do what's called a chip graft, where you put the cutting down the side where the cambium layer is, and you can do that in winter. So basically, you can prune any fig tree June, July, but if you want to do hardwood pruning, you do that in sort of July, or you can do a different type of pruning in spring and summer with your fig.
Wow. Gosh, you just got a PhD in figs, you know. Hello, Sue, in Lathlane with your olive trees.
Oh, hi. Yes, I hope it's not as complicated as the fig explanation.
Me too.
No, sorry. Well, you know, I came in wearing figs, so I'm sort of in the fig mode this morning.
Oh, let's keep it in the Mediterranean. So I have an olive tree it's a family heirloom. Oh. It's an auntie who died, and it's a big old lovely olive tree. And, you know, once the land and block goes, I want to be able to keep growing that same olive tree. So yeah. When's the best time? How many cuttings and where do I take the cuttings from?
Okay, so with olive tree cuttings, you're better off taking those in summer, Sue, rather than winter. How much time have you got up your sleeve?
Yeah, I don't think I've got another season.
Okay, well, come further down the wood. So rather than take the top of the olive branch, come down the stem a bit where it's less, where you can only just bend it.
Okay.
So you don't want the hard wood, you want the semi-hard wood.
Yep. Cool.
Now, take heaps of cuttings, Sue.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can put three or four cuttings in the one pot.
Yeah.
And hey, look, olives grow really well from a cutting.
Do I need the gel or the powder root stuff? Which one's better?
And get the hardwood gel. The gel's much better than the powder because the gel sticks to the cutting. So you can take your cuttings about 20 centimetres long.
Yep.
And take a lot.
Yep. And strip most of the leaves off?
Yeah, strip all the bottom leaves off and keep a few at the top.
Yep, and part it like two-thirds of the branch down into the pot.
Not two-thirds. No, that's two-thirds? Too deep with olives. I wouldn't go more than a third.
Perfect.
Third deep, yep.
All right, I'll listen back on the podcast so I don't lose all this.
Rate, subscribe and review.
Yeah, subscribe and review, Sue.
Thank you, Sue. Billy. Billy, friend of the program from Narrogin. What's going on in Narrogin, Billy?
We've had beautiful rain right through the wheat belt and now we've got the warm sun with no heat. And, like, I've never seen so many happy farmers in their lives.
Oh, so you did. You got, yeah, I saw the rain came fair way inland. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. There would have been rain dancing. In fact, They would have made their own World Naked Gardening Day when the rain came through, all the farmers, I reckon.
Yeah.
I think it's the way Wyatt rains, because they get out in the paddocks and do a little nudie dance when the rain comes. It's magnificent.
I'm with you 100%, Billy. I think there should be more of it.
There is. Because as the sun exposed itself this morning, I had to run inside and put my loincloth on.
Well, that would have kept you nice and warm, Billy. I have a vision of you out there in your paddock with your loincloth.
Oh, yes, my goodness.
I tried the fig leaf thing, but I find that you've got to be careful with the wind.
Billy, can we move on to your fig tree before things get completely out of hand?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
I like the idea of your rock and roll musical. I'm thinking Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, no, no.
And I'd like to help you with it. I'm thinking a bit of Bon Scott, Edward Scissorhands. If we go down that road,
He was very good at pruning. Very good.
Can you, what's going on with your fig trees, Billy? Stay on task. You're a dangerous person and I'm not in delay.
No, I can be respectful.
Thank you.
My fig trees, I've been told that they came from another property, and I've been told that there's such a thing as a male and female fig tree. Is that true?
Some of the older figs, Billy, need a pollinator that is a wasp. To lure, the males have to lure the female into the fruit. So, and that's just with some of the species of the older figs.
Oh,
and
okay.
we don't have the wasp here.
Okay. These ones propagate quite well.
Yep.
I've just managed to keep the front one alive. It was sort of on its last legs, but it... I've just keeping it going, but I need to do some cutting and a regrowth of it because I love it so good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard to know until it starts fruiting whether it's going to be one of those ones where you need the wasp as a pollinator. But look, I would take a cutting of that tree and grow it, and then you'll soon know.
Yeah, I'm going to have a crack at that.
Yeah, definitely.
They go really well. I've been told they're a late bloomer too.
Okay.
So they're quite adequate. I get a full supply off them. And
okay.
Yeah, it's great.
Awesome.
So have a lovely day.
Thank you so much, Billy.
Billy, we nearly said that in perfect use.
I know.
We're twins.
We are twins.
We're simpatico. Hello, Linda in Brabham.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Linda.
I am looking for a tree for out the front.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 3 metres by 3 metres.
Mm-hmm.
There's already grevillea and kangaroo paw in mm-hmm. there.
Yep.
I've been waiting 3 years for a Corymbia baby scarlet.
Right.
The dwarf one.
Yes, yes.
Cannot find one that's under $600.
Land sakes.
Can I put that will attract birds, bees,
okay. Yep.
And is native?
Okay, there is a beautiful little tree called Eucalyptus preciana, PREISSIANA. It has the most beautiful yellow flower on it.
Ooh.
And it only gets to 3 metres. It's a gorgeous little eucalypt and the birds love it.
Oh, that sounds perfect.
And it'll cost you considerably less than $600, Linda.
That is good. And considering I'm a learner gardener and I have not everything has survived in my first garden.
Okay. That's all part of the learning, Linda. Anyway, Preciana, Eucalyptus Preciana, the most stunning little eucalypt.
Good luck with it, Linda. Send us photos when you've got it in and we'd love to see it. It's time for this.
It is That time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this. Here we go now.
Bang, bang. It's not a song about nudity.
Okay, what is it a song about?
Well, this is a favourite little couple of fellas. They're brothers.
I like these chaps.
Yeah, the Teskey brothers.
Yeah.
I think they're fantastic.
Yeah.
From Melbourne.
Yeah.
Little kind of folky, rocky type group.
They sound like they're from another time.
They do, actually.
Yeah.
They even look like they're from another. They kind of remind me of boyfriends I had in the 70s.
Okay. What, beardy and...
Yeah, long hair.
Gardening freaks.
Yeah, and gentle people.
Oh!
Gentle people.
Were boyfriends better in the 70s?
I think they were. I'm sure I was better as a girlfriend in the 70s.
The weight of the world hadn't crushed your spirit
yet.
Yeah,
that's right.
I saw a funny joke about boyfriends.
Yes.
It said, if your fiancé is not from the fiancé region of France, he's only a sparkling boyfriend. He's a Brosecco. How good is that? Shall we play some?
I love that. This is called I Get Up by the Teskey Brothers.
Brilliant. Exclusively love coming in on the text line from all of you who love the Teskey Brothers, as we do. And Sab's just been on a really nostalgic trip down memory lane because we looked at photographs of the Teskey Brothers and she remembered all of her boyfriends through the 70s. And I had to ask exactly how many were there.
There were a lot.
Quite a few, she said.
Yeah, you need when you're young, you need more than one boyfriend, I find.
Yeah, I was far too well behaved. And that's not something I'm proud of. I wish I was far more loose. We've caused a traffic accident in Melbourne.
No, Amber, what have we done?
Kim from Melbourne said she had just taken her kit off to get to her naked photo in the garden, heard a huge bang, someone veered off the road and smashed the neighbour's fence as my bra fell to the ground. Yep, I'm hot, says Kim from Melbourne. You are, Kim, because, you know, that can describe all of
Rich and she's in Melbourne
audience.
Listening to
and
us.
She's in Melbourne.
That's how bloody good this gardening program is.
Broad appeal and reach. They love to talk about reach in radio land.
Oh, do they? Oh,
yeah.
Right.
I don't even know what it means.
No, that's not in my vocab, reach.
Reach.
Reach, maybe.
I reckon Melbourne sounds like reach, doesn't it?
It does. That's bloody good reach, I reckon.
The long arm of the radio show.
Yeah.
Hey, one of our faces called in, friend of the show, Sam from Jarrow.
Sam, hello. Beautiful
Roxy's
Sam.
Dad. Hi, Sam.
Good morning, ladies. So I actually have a gardening question.
Excellent.
Rather than just a critique of the music, which actually wasn't.
Did you like it?
It wasn't terrible.
It wasn't terrible.
It wasn't too bad.
That's always a win for me, Sam. If you say it wasn't terrible, I see that as, I reckon, 9 out of 10.
Well, put it this way. The Teskey Brothers were going to come to Geraldton and I booked tickets to see them.
So you're a bit down on them. Is that what I'm hearing? Did they cancel?
Did they cancel?
Well, it wasn't them that cancelled. They were part of a festival which was coming and the whole festival got cancelled.
Oh, the festival got cancelled. Yeah, that's right. Yep. Oh.
But no, so the gardening question.
Yes.
I found an old mulcher which Dad had buried in the shed from a while ago.
Awesome.
Which I've spent last weekend getting up and going again.
Yeah.
Because mulch is so expensive and I don't trust the stuff that comes from the tip.
Yeah.
Am I able to use stuff like wattles and tea trees and just whatever's growing around here to make it? Or
you
should
bet.
I just get in some old bushes and stuff?
No, Sam, use whatever you're pruning and whack that through the mulcher. Now, what I say to people is if it's fresh green stuff, then you will need to add just a little bit of blood and bone or a bit of nitrogen to start the process of it breaking down a bit.
Okay, yep.
But it'll make great mulch.
Would stuff like horse pee be able to...
Yep, horse poo, same. Yep, it's nitrogen.
How's Roger?
Cool.
How's our baby Roger?
Good, he's currently having his second breakfast at the moment.
Oh, what's he chowing down on, Sam?
Well, so his first one was Wheaties and his second one's milk. So he's... he's got to the point where he doesn't want to be fed anymore. He just wants to hold the bottle by himself.
Aww. Can you please send us a photo? It makes our day. Such a pair of old nanas we are here. You're a lovely thing. Thank you for
Sam. All right, mulch away, Sam. Mulch away.
Budgie, the little helicopter from Trigg. Hello, Budgie.
Hey, hey there, Sabrina.
Hey there, Budgie. How you doing?
I'm still twittering away, carrying on regardless. But just as a musical experience,
yes,
I frankly prefer Dixieland jazz music.
Okay. Well, do you know what?
I haven't.
I haven't played any Dixieland jazz. So, who do you reckon I should play?
Tuba Skinny playing, say, Postage Stomp.
I'm writing this down. Tuba Skinny. Sounds like a
very, very popular band. Been around for years, but marvellous. Best jazz band in the world.
And what's the song called?
Jubilee Stomp. Sorry. Postage Stomp.
Oh, Postage Stomp.
Oh, that's a funny name. Yeah,
okay.
That's a good
I like it. Words. I'm liking it. Now, I can't play it next week, Budgie, but I promise you I'll play it the week after because I've already got the song pick up for next week.
That's good. But now my gardening question.
Yes.
I'm a fan of eucalypt mallees, mallee eucalypt.
Yes.
Is it feasible to grow the small ones in a pot?
Most definitely, Budgie.
Good, because you can cut them back and have multi-stem.
That's exactly right. And so they sort of look like a big shrub rather than a small tree.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's
no, it. They do really well in a pot, Budgie.
Okay, well, I'll go potty.
You go potty. and when I play the song, not next Saturday, Saturday after, take the radio near your little tree and it'll rock on.
Oh, good. I like Websteriana for a start.
Oh, yes, I love Websteriana. That's a beautiful little tree. Yep.
Flaky bark, you know, nice little flowers.
And a beautiful little flower. Okay.
Thank you, Budgie.
Thanks for your music
Sabrina.
Tip.
Thank you, Budgie. Now, Gert has texted us with... brilliant photograph of herself. She's a garden fairy. She's completely naked apart from
a beautiful
lovely
bonnet.
Blue hat and two hats on her head and one hat on the tum to cover up. I think I might see a nipple in there.
Yeah,
but
there might be
a touch
nipple.
It's a safe for work nipple.
Yep.
She's got a lovely bottom, hasn't
she? She's got a beautiful bottom.
Is she carrying a basket of spuds or are they lemons?
No, it looks like spuds. And she's got very, very nice gumboots on.
Yeah, pink, glittery, sparkly, metallic pink
metallic,
with a purple sole, basket of spuds or lemons, not sure, sky blue hat over the midriff and a double hat situation
on
the head.
A double bonnet.
We can't see her face, but we can see it's made our day, Gert. That's what it's done.
Now, see, I've seen Gertrude in many outfits, but I've never seen her naked.
You know Gert.
I know Gert very well, and I know it's her, even though I haven't seen her as much of her body as that because she's usually all dressed up.
I think she's to be really lauded for that bottom.
Yeah,
it's a good bottom.
None of my children have got decent bottoms. They've all got flat bottoms.
Oh, they've been hit by the bugger lugs bum thief.
Yeah, but I don't know where that came from because none of us have got flat bottoms. Maybe their dad must have a flat bottom. I can't remember it.
Oh, my goodness.
He's coming around today. I'll ask him.
Your dad?
No, their dad. My dad's bottom would be... Well, it's not there at all because he's been dead a very long time.
Deceased bottom.
Yes.
Hello, Chris in South Frio.
Oh, hi, girls. Look, my question is about orchids.
Yes.
I've been given three over the last year or so. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, the flowers have gone. And now what's happening is we've got these lovely long green juicy legs coming out of the pot.
Right.
And I'm wondering, what do I do, you know, should I be... fertilizing or
do you know which orchid it is, Chris?
It's the popular ones that just have a single stem and from that there are
Phalaenopsis. Phalaenopsis. Okay. Now, because it is shooting and you've got lovely long green legs, not you but your orchid, yes, you can use it. Now, you can get orchid fertilizer that's like a little spike. that you push into the soil. So that's all you need to do is put one of those little orchid spikes in.
Okay.
And carry on doing what you're doing.
And where do those legs go? Do they just hang down?
Yes, they will hang down. They're like their gripper legs. So they're anchor roots. So they'll go down into the potting mix.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks for that.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
We have a couple of lines free, 1-300-222-720. Plenty of texts. We won't keep up with them. Tom is listening in Bangkok.
Bangkok?
Yeah, he's helping our reach, and he's gone to have a lie down and a cup of tea and a Bex because we've boggled his brain with the thoughts of naked gardeners. Call. Every now and then there's a text which just has the paperclip icon on it, which says there's a photo attached. And it's after Gert's text. Now I'm a little bit leery about opening them up.
I don't know. Barry's sent it in twice. Let's see what he's...
His bottom. What a relief. It's a grass tree. It doesn't look well.
No. Now, grass trees can take up to 5 years to die. So that's not looking good. So... the grass tree, all the lower fronds are brown and dead, and the fronds at the very top are looking a very pale green. So if it's been transplanted in the last 2 years, you do have to summer water them, but you don't do it in winter if you're getting rainfall. You need to underprune all those fronds, and you need to cut the centre fronds. You need to do a little punk haircut. Like a sort of like a very shortened cut off ponytail.
That's a lovely description there. That sounds good. Who have we got? I'm not sure who we've got. Oh, Barry said it was transplanted 3 months ago.
Does that help information? Okay. Maybe, Barry, you're overwatering it. So ease off on the water. And we had a text message with a picture about baby bromeliads. I don't know where it's gone. This is the trouble. They move around, don't they?
Someone
sent in a text message and they've got like about 40 little tiny baby bromeliads and she doesn't know what to do with them. So now bromeliads are sort of, you've got to really, really make sure they start drying out now over the winter months when it's colder. I would leave them in that, she's got them in a polystyrene container. I would leave them in there until spring, but they need to be where they get morning sun and just mist spray them. If you water them in that polystyrene container, they will rot. So just mist spray with a little, you know, the one that the hairdressers use on the hair, on your hair when you're getting a haircut. You know, when your hair dries out.
Spritz it.
Yep. Or people use the, people iron, apparently, and they spray their clothes, their ironing with a water thingy, Jiggy.
A mist.
Yeah, I don't iron. But.
Ironing in the mist.
Hi, dog lovers. It's Michael Tetlow here. Have you donated to our Toys and Treats drive for the Shenton Park Dog Refuge Home? We're asking for your help to improve the lives of all dogs in their care. They need enrichment toys like leaky mats, chew toys, snuffle mats and non-perishable treats. Drop your donations into our special bins here at the ABC or into the refuge at Shenton Park, proudly supported by 720 ABC Perth.
There's more nudity in the world on account of you. Judy is driving across the Nullarbor naked. The word's out. The road train drivers are all flashing me. And she says, and I don't mean the headlights. Go, Jude! And somebody else said, for the brain-boggled bloke.
I love it.
Dude, it's not rude to be nude. I love that. A little bit of poetry here on ABC Gardening, Roots and Shoots.
Yeah, Roots and Shoots.
Lewis from Bull Creek. Hello, Lewis.
Okay, morning, ladies.
Morning.
I'm in my garden, but I'm not naked because I've got a responsibility to children and old people.
You know what? I reckon it does your kids good or young children good.
No.
Apparently it doesn't.
Okay. I am not a gardener, but about 13 years ago, my sister helped me establish like a garden just with indigenous plants.
Yeah.
And I've got this thing that looks like a flax or a thing with big long leaves, like it looks like a grassy thing. But now the funny thing is, this season, this thing has stood here for 13 years, and all of a sudden there's a spike growing out of the middle of it.
Yeah.
And this spike is about 2.5 meters, maybe even 3 meters high.
Yep.
And right at the top is coming out a bulb with like reddish flower or something. Mm-hmm. And I want to know, what the heck is this?
Have you got a picture of it, Lewis, that you could send us?
I can send you a picture. I just don't know where to send it.
So it's a lovely big fleshy leaf?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. And the flower is red and it's a big tall spike. That is a gymea. A gymea lily. G-Y-M-E-A.
Yeah.
Gymea lily. They come from New South Wales. They are truly magnificent.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
My wife wanted me to cut it off because she says it looks obscene.
No! No, it's a bit phallic. But, honestly, it's beautiful, Lewis. Keep it and admire it. And the birds will come in because they love the nectar in the flower.
Okay.
No, you must keep it. It's magnificent. Oh, Gymea lily.
You're giving me good advice. I'll tell the wife to admire it too.
Absolutely, Lewis.
Thank you, Lewis. Hello, Patrick. Have you got a horse with you?
No.
I thought I had a horse.
No, sorry. I do have horses, but no. I heard you tell someone to strike mulberries in the winter.
Yeah.
When I Googled it, that said strike them in the growing season.
No, but you can strike them if you've got to listen back to the podcast, Patrick, because I said there's two times of the year that you take cuttings from mulberries. You can take them midwinter and then you take them late spring and summer, but you take different cuttings in different times of the year. Okay? So if you want to take winter cuttings, you have to take the hardwood. If you want to do late spring, summer cuttings, then you take the new wood at the top.
Right. And what sort of medium do you put them into?
You need, and it's really important with mulberries because they get a bacterial spot, you need to put them in a really coarse propagation mix, which will be 3 parts coarse sand, 1 part cocoa peat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And you use the gel or whatever it is to.
Yes, you dip it in in the gel. Yep, in the hormone gel.
Also, when I Googled it, they said you put 4 nodes in the ground. Is that right? Or?
Yes, that's right. So you're going to put, the cuttings of mulberry trees that you put in, you're going to bury them 2/3 into the ground and then just leave the top out.
Thank you so much, Patrick. Now we're in trouble for being a little bit too ribald.
Oh, are we?
Yes, and I'm just like thrilled that I know how to pronounce that more than anything.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
It is Nude Gardening Day internationally, and I think it's worth celebrating. Don't know about you.
Absolutely.
Robin in Leeming says, what is the best variety of Westringia and Buxus to shape into balls for south of river gardens in Perth?
Okay, I'd forget about Buxus if I were you because they all have a fungal disease and they're not coping with climate change. There's two new Westringias that have come out that are for pruning, for making into beautiful balls, little round balls. So one of them is called Mundi, M-U-N-D-I, and the other one is actually called Aussie Box Improved.
Oh, they're so pretty. I just Googled them. They're gorgeous.
Yeah. So some Westringias don't take to being box hedged, but the Mundi and the one called Aussie Box, which they're all PBR, means they're plant breeding rights, so you pay for the breeding rights of them, are very, very good.
Super duper. Let me push some buttons. I've got the buttons. Ricky, hello. Massive native wisteria wants to move it.
Yeah, so basically I've really shot myself in the foot. I had a massive purple thing in this particular location.
Yeah.
And I pulled it out and I put in a tiny little tube stock of a Hardenbergia.
Yeah.
Now I've got a massive purple thing in the same location. Really what I want is for that to be more of a clear sort of way because it's where I have to walk to my car.
Okay. Right. We'll
so
just...
can it be moved or...
No.
Oh. I suspected that would be the answer.
If it's really little, you can, but the big Hardenbergias, they don't like being moved. But the thing is, Ricky, they're really fast growing. Just like cut that one down and go and get yourself another one.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. It's not small at all. It's gigantic.
No,
so.
And they do get, they get carried away. They get carried away.
It really has. thank you.
Thanks, Ricky. Let's read another review from the reviews page of the Roots and Shoots podcast as we head up towards 10 o'clock. It's 5:02. Majasta9 says, I love listening to Sabrina and Co. It's my major entertainment. When I first discovered it, I listened to back-to-back episodes to catch up all the way driving from Sydney to Melbourne.
Wow.
Hands down, far surpasses every other gardening show. I've learnt so much as a gardener. I live in Sydney and love hearing your enthusiasm and love of your WA native plants too. You soothe the soul, Sabrina.
Aww.
And Miney52 says, I have loved this show since Russell Wolf. May his blessings be upon us. Days, and I am so pleased that it podcasts so I never miss a show. One query though, why is the rating clean for this show? Surely a gardening show should be rated dirty. Dirty.
Dirty.
It's a dirty show and we're brown and curly and we're dirty. I fear I've strayed into dangerous waters there. Hello, Robin in Bunbury.
Oh, gosh, you've made me laugh just as I come on here.
Oh, that's all right. You're joining us laughing, Robin. That's fine.
I've been listening probably just about since the show started and I've often laughed, but I have to say the current duo is gold. I mean, you women.
Thank you, Robin. So.
Thank you.
It's genuine. Anyway, I've got a vanilla orchid, which amazingly isn't, well, it's not looking that happy actually, but it looks like it needs repotting.
Yeah.
And I actually went and had a look at it after I'd rung in, and I can actually see the little plug that they, you know, and all the potting mix has sort of also fallen away.
Oh, okay.
And also, it's because it's growing, you know, quite long now, well, not as long as you're seeing barley, but it needs a bit more support. So help.
Okay. So that little plug it's in, Robin, I want you to take it out of the pot and I want you to tease the root system out of that little plug thing that it's in so that you're pulling the roots outwards and then I want you to repot it and repot it deeper into the soil profile so it's not so wibbly wobbly.
Yep.
And you need to do that now before it starts getting cold.
Okay. And into orchid mix?
No, because the vanilla orchid is a little bit different. So I would mix the orchid mix with cocoa peat.
Okay.
Yeah, get a bag of cocoa peat, mix it, 50-50 with the orchid mix.
And because it's inside, I want to be – I'm concerned about it getting bigger and bigger, which is my hope, of course, and eventually getting orchid vanilla pods.
Yep.
How big should I just – and because it's a vine, I'm concerned about moving it from pot to pot and breaking it and, you know, into the future.
Yeah.
What's your recommendation and also for a structure for it to grow up?
Okay. So they're pretty slow growing, Robin, and they're not a very big vine. So just get one of those little trellises that you would use, say, for a mandevilla. That will be plenty. They do need warmth and morning sun. Just the first few hours of the morning sun, they hate the wind, so they like that humidity, but they really do need quite a bit of light.
Robin, thank you for that. Now, some not pushback, but just maybe a little bit of corrections corner.
Yep.
Maybe it's not ribald as I...
No, it's ribald.
Ribald. People suggest that. I think I remember someone that I trusted and, you know, maybe they were a Brit pronouncing it ribald. Mm. But I did have a quick check and it looks like I am wrong and you are right. It and is what my... I want you all to learn from this experience is that I can admit it.
Yeah, and we can't be everything.
To all persons.
To all persons.
No. She's doing it her way, and anyone who seeks to challenge that, we're going to have to come up against Amber Cunningham. And I can tell you right now, I'm a fairly terrifying sort of middle-aged woman.
Oh, scary.
Terrifying, yeah.
Land sakes.
Please listen to Roots and Shoots on the podcast platforms that you use. Rate, review and subscribe.
Rate us.
We love it. We love the fact that you join us in on with us every week. I'm so sad that we can't get to all of your texts. We do try.
Sorry.
But it's just, you know, it's hard being this popular. Isn't it?
Oh, it's tough. It's tough, Amber.
And I think if anyone saw your rack right now, you'd be infinitely more popular.
Then again, and we love you all.
We'll be back next week. Mention. Thanks for hanging out. It's been fun as always. It's news time. Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturdays from 9 o'clock.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth.
Or listen on your radio to ABC Perth on DAB Plus or 720 AM.
You can text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Call us in the studio on 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back midweek to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating.
And share the episode with all your friends.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.